We're on to the 2011 season, which means it's time to talk about the Kendrick Perkins trade. Oh boy. It's a Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales of Bass Live here, welcoming you back to another Locked On Celtics podcast, our third and final podcast of the week. This Thursday ends a three-day condensed week of podcasts because I'm on vacation, and I wanted to give you a few podcasts this week, and that's what I'm doing. You're getting three podcasts. This one is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order, which is really cool. I like Built Bars. I eat them myself. This podcast today continues our deep dive. We are now in the 2010-2011 season, marching ever closer to today. And in this one, we get to the Kendrick Perkins trade, which is an interesting kind of flashpoint in Celtics history. It's seen as one of Danny Ainge's worst trades, but I don't see it that way. It didn't work out well, so I'm not saying it was a great trade, but it was a trade that made sense. And I'll explain why as we continue. It's me, Chuck McKinney, Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. Here we go. So 2010 ends in disappointment. The window is starting to close. The Celtics, this is, you start to look at what Danny Ainge is doing. Again, in the previous season, Sheed, Nate Robinson, Michael Finley, Danny Ainge is trying like hell to get these guys an opportunity to win another one and put pieces, any pieces he can find, veteran pieces that he feels like he can trust around these guys to give them some help. So in 2010, those guys are the O'Neals, Jermaine and Shaquille, these guys. Nate Robinson still sticks around. Delonte West comes back. They signed Von Wafer, which is awesome. One of my favorite moments in all NBA history. But it's mainly, and they draft Avery Bradley, who doesn't really contribute a ton to this particular season's team. But this is Avery Bradley arrives on the scene anyway, so he's part of the team. This team is now basically the demise of the big three is coming, and Glenn Davis rises to become the third leading scorer on this team, and Rondo behind him, and then no one else averages double digits for that entire season. So all these people that the Celtics do bring in, no one really – they're not getting anything that they were hoping for from any of these guys. But let's start with – Shaquille O'Neal, so at this point is 38 years old and I think 380 pounds. It's just it's the end of the road for Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq was, first of all, it was crazy to think of Shaq being on the Celtics in a Boston uniform. Nobody could deal with that, right? It was, I was happy about it. It was great. You'd think, hey, if he's got a little bit left in the tank, maybe this will help. And I remember the first game of the season, he threw down a hellacious dunk right off the bat, and everybody got charged up, and it was, wow. You know, so, but he didn't make it through the whole season, did he?
No.
Probably because he was 380 pounds.
Right. I mean, he was a big guy, and he had an Achilles injury with the Celtics, and he never was too much for his body. It's like the big dogs. It's like Great Danes don't live as long as a beagle. He's big. He's too big. And at that point, it was the end of his career, and he just didn't have, like, his body wasn't gonna cooperate. He didn't tear the Achilles, I don't think, but the Achilles injury was persistent enough where it didn't work. You could see him. He was getting cortisone shots. He was in a walking boot. They never got anything out of him for that season.
Well, the problem was, right? So you signed Shaq, right? And you also signed Jermaine O'Neal, and he played even fewer games than Shaq. And I don't remember, was this his shoulder or was it his elbow, right? He was injured too. But I think the logic is between the two of them, we'll get enough games, right? Rest one, play the other. When one's hurt, they both kind of crashed and burned.
Yeah.
So when they both crash and burn, then it's a huge problem. And I didn't have, I didn't expect much from Shaq. And I think from him, it was just like, just play, just get him out there, be that presence, get those rebounds that we couldn't get last year. But obviously when you have a, leg injury, that's problematic. You know, for me, I remember Shaq. It was some of the off-court stuff, right? He's in Boston. He'd pop up in Harvard Square.
Yep.
He'd pop up here doing all these like, oh, did you hear Shaq was there and there? I mean, yeah, that's cool. But if that is like the noteworthy part of your season, then clearly, you're not playing all that well.
Go ahead.
Can I just say something about Jermaine O'Neal? I never liked him. Okay, as a player.
I second that.
I always thought that he felt like he was a lot better than he really was. Just his demeanor on the court. Okay. And when in the 2010 playoffs, when the Celtics beat Miami in five, he was on the Heat. And my memory of him from that series was he couldn't make a shot to save his life. I don't know what his percentage was. I'm not looking at the stats at the moment, but he was terrible, terrible. And I thought, I just got a lot of enjoyment out of that. And now here he is. I have to root for the guy.
That's a great
what
point.
What the hell? This is just sometimes, I know I'm not saying Ainge shouldn't have signed him. I'm just saying that. Boy, sometimes, you try to be loyal to a team and they don't make it easy on you. That was I just didn't want to see Jermaine O'Neal in green and white.
No, you're right.
There he was.
I felt the same way about him. And I didn't look at that Heat roster. I didn't notice his name on there, but it's coming back to me now. How awful he was. And yeah, I didn't ever found him to be the most likable player, but I think I do see what Ainge was thinking, right? I mean, the logic is there. Here's a couple of veteran bigs. Hopefully we can squeeze a full season out of the two of them. But yeah, I mean, Jermaine, his whole tenure in Boston, I think he was here for a couple of seasons. And I think he was always hurt. And at some point he started squawking about his role and his minutes and all that stuff. It may have been the following season. At that point, we're all just like, dude, shut up. if you're squawking about minutes and role and touches, then you have your common sense is way off, and you have no clue as to why you're here. So
Shaq played 37 games and Jermaine played 24. So they didn't quite get the whole season out of them even combined.
No. That didn't help things. For the Boston Celtics, because now, and you look at the entirety of the season, they're not the only ones who are hurt. Rajon Rondo is dealing with injuries in over the course of this season, and he missed a bunch of games. He had plantar fascia injury, I believe, this season, and really was up and down, I think, in this season. And then now we're continuing our – he was an all-star, but we're continuing, like, people are starting to really turn on Rondo. Like, this is the and I don't remember when exactly the throwing the water bottle thing happened, but it's coming soon if it hasn't happened this season. But
I don't think we find out about it till years later. I thought that that was an incident where it happens and it could have been this year or the following year, but we find out about it like a year or two later.
Right.
That's what I think anyway. My vibe isn't that I don't feel like we're turning on Rondo. I think there's criticism there, but I don't feel – I still feel like it's a little bit later.
It is.
I don't know.
That actually does – that does come out a little bit later. I think maybe the following year or maybe at the end – maybe at the end of this season. I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking at a story here that from 2011 that – kind of shows that it was right around this time, regardless.
Yeah,
so Rondo's dealing with his injuries, and there is a growing wave of displeasure for Rondo during this season. We're going to get back to this discussion and get to the Kendrick Perkins trade in just a moment. But first, Built Bar is a delicious protein bar made to taste very much like a candy bar. It is covered in chocolate, 100% real chocolate, and it gives you all the protein that you want, 15 to 20 grams of protein, and low calorie, everything's under 200 calories, low carbs, low sugars, so none of the extra crap that you're going to get from some of the other protein bars that are on the market. You can go to builtbar.com and compare the labels if you want. That's how confident they are. They put the labels on the website so you can compare. Go to BuiltBar.com and you will also see that they are closing out inventory on the old formula Built Bar. They're coming up with an even better one. And I like this one, so this is great. You can go and get up to 50% off depending on how many boxes you buy. If you're a returning customer, great time now to go and buy and get a deep discount. Or if you're a first-time customer, go ahead and buy them. Take advantage of the discount and take advantage of the promo code. Promo code is locked on to get you $10 off your first order. So you get a deep discount plus $10 off, and 100% of these profits are going to go to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, and ending hate and racism. So go to BuiltBar.com, get the best tasting protein bar on the market for a deep discount, and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Anyway, so the Celtics are dealing with injuries, and along the way, though, they still were playing well. I mean, it's not like I'm talking about it like things are disappointing and guys were disappointing, but there was also a 14-game winning streak in this season. There were a few winning streaks in this season. The Celtics actually started out this year and were 41-14 at one point, and they were the number one seed at the All-Star break. So it starts out going pretty well, but they end up falling off, and part of their falling off starts with the Kendrick Perkins trade. And this is like so hotly debated. So Kendrick Perkins goes to Oklahoma City with Nate Robinson, and the Celtics get back Nenad Krstić, Jeff Green, and a first round pick, which ultimately became, rest in peace, Fab Melo. So prior to the Kendrick Perkins injury, prior to the Kendrick Perkins trade, there was an injury, I think, that preceded this. Marquise Daniels left the floor. He
with a spinal injury.
This right. He ran into Gilbert Arenas in early February. He had some sort of issues in the past where there was just the construction of his neck. Something in his neck made it so if he hit something wrong, he would get like knocked out. Like he's been temporarily paralyzed, and it happened in this one. And this is probably the worst of the injuries that he suffered. If you look at the way this team was constructed, Danny Ainge, in an effort to try to fix one problem, left himself exposed at the small forward position. And when Marquise Daniels went down, they had no backup for Paul Pierce. And so Danny Ainge looked at the situation. He looked at Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins was going to be a free agent. They were not going to pay Kendrick Perkins. He found a team that was going to. They got themselves a small forward who at that point, we didn't realize the full extent of how Jeff Green was.
That's a great line.
And it made some sense. Now, and this is like one of the hotly debated topics in Celtics history. That was the Kendrick Perkins trade a bad trade, a good trade, or neutral trade? I don't think it was a bad trade, because they weren't going to re-sign him. They needed to get themselves a small forward. And at that point, he was a 24-year-old who had varying degrees of success and was at that sort of change of scenery. And on top of everything, I don't know if you guys had heard or read, or like Danny Ainge was hoping to get James Harden out of that deal. And because I think he knew that they weren't going to be able to pay Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. So I think he was going for Harden, and they mm-hmm. said no. And so he said, all right, fine, I'll take Jeff Green. Like, that's my understanding of that deal as well.
Well, can I, I'll take the other side then, because let's do like they do on the TV talk shows where they have to argue.
I finally get to yell at right? Mike. Mike's like the nicest guy in the world. Now I finally have a reason to yell at him.
Let's take the side that it was a terrible trade. It was a terrible trade. The Celtics, the reason they were playing well that season is they had a great defense again. Mm-hmm. Garnett was 1 year removed from his injury. He was playing better on defense, moving better than he had been in the past. They only gave up 91 points a game, and defensive rating 100.3, which was second in the league, because they did not have a great offense by any means. So they were winning on defense. Now, Perkins was a big part of that. That was his role, defend and rebound. And so you trade him away, then who do they have left? Were you going to count on Shaq or Jermaine at that time? No, you couldn't. They both had injury troubles, and they weren't good anymore, not like they had been. So you were thin there. And more so, the team chemistry, I think, took a huge hit by this trade because nobody saw it coming. When Danny makes moves, nobody sees them coming anyway. But this was especially, I think it really hit them hard that one of their guys had won the championship with them. The team that famously had starting five that famously had never lost a playoff series when they were all together.
Right.
Now one of them's gone. And from that point, after that trade, they only went 15-12 rest of the season. And it just hurt them.
I think it did. I mean, I've always looked back on it and thought Ainge made the right move, right? For me, you know, the number one the number one priority was Pierce was 33, and you needed to get him some rest in the regular season if you were going to ride him in the playoffs. I mean, he'd been playing a lot of minutes. So, and John's right when he says when Daniels goes down, they had absolutely no one to take his minutes, right? So you have that as priority number one. And priority number two is the fact that, you know, Perk's up at the end of the year. Chances are they're not going to re-sign him. So while your focus is on winning a championship for this season, you still have to look at what am I going to do next year and the year after that and the year after that. It made sense to me that they're going to bring in a 24-year-old Jeff Green. He's going to take some of the burden off of Paul. You know, he can be maybe a bridge guy. He's young. There's still optimism around his talent. And it looks like Perk was playing well. He only played about 12 games. Obviously, the knee injury was carried over into the start of this season. You know, like you said, Mike, defense was this team's calling card. Perk was averaging about 8. He was shooting, 50-something percent. Give him a couple looks in the post. He was making them. So I see that. But when you look at the guys that they had, whether it be KG and Big Baby, and then hopefully Shaq, you know, there's definitely a rolling of the dice here. But I just thought that it made sense. And what surprised me was, you know, like you said, it definitely shook up the team a bit. And I think most of the fans, no, I shouldn't say most, but there was a split among the fans that I think we saw that it affected the team. Many of the guys came out, especially Rondo being like, oh, I can't believe my boy is gone. And there were a lot of fans who were impacted by it. But if I'm Ainge, I think the pros outweigh the cons, not knowing that Jeff is going to miss an entire season due to a, serious heart injury or heart ailment.
Right.
I'll say this. Both of you guys said for the long run, this was the right move. Maybe so, but they gave away a real chance to get back to the finals, I think. It just... they were doing well. As you said, John, they were 41-14 at the trade deadline. They were up there. They had a chance. And that chance went away as soon as the trade was made.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'm not going to lie, when I pop the hood of a car, I'm very confused by what I see. I get the general idea of how it works, but I'm not somebody that's going to rebuild that thing, especially now with all of the computers involved. But if you know what you're doing and you need parts, you can go to rockauto.com because they have all of the parts that you're looking for at a very reliably low price. And if you're like me and you're just buying things that your car needs, simple things that you can do yourself, maybe you gotta change your oil or change a windshield wiper or any of these little things that people like me can do, you can still go to rockauto.com for that because they offer the lowest prices possible and they don't change their prices based on what the market will bear like an airline would do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, no membership, no account login, and the same price whether you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer. They're not going to give somebody a special discount. You can go and get the same reliably low price from RockAuto.com, which is a family business that's been serving customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, you get everything you need from a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
There's a reason why this is a very,
intensely debated trait because I don't think it's obvious either way. Danny Ainge does have to consider the long-term impact. You have a guy that, first of all, he's seeing how the league is going. And that even if you look at the rest of Perk's career, that he's kind of the last of the dinosaurs in a lot of ways. Danny Ainge found him a team that was willing to pay him, a team that needed to get that toughness. So trading him away, one thing, I think it should be noted that he traded him to a good team and a team that was going to pay him. So he did take care of Kendrick Perkins. And Kendrick Perkins, now, he said things both for and against the trade. Most recently, he said that, you know, if I was Danny Ainge, I would have traded me too, or something along those lines. It should be noted, as far as chemistry and players and everything, like, they all understand the business. He sent Perk to a good team, and he sent Perk to a place that was going to pay him. And we didn't realize the Jeff Green situation. At that point, there was a ton of upside, quote unquote, and there was the potential was there. My pushback on the chemistry thing is, while the Celtics lost the Nuggets game, which was, I think, the day of the trade, they went off and won five straight after that. It's not like they were so broken up that they fell apart and just like, oh God, this is horrible, and they were rudderless. They won five straight games after that. They went and swept the Knicks. Granted, it was the Knicks, but they swept through the first round of the playoffs. And on top of everything, you still have Kevin Garnett, you still have Paul Pierce, you still have Ray Allen, who are all professionals. And I just can't, I can't get my head around this thing that a trade that happened in February would be so impactful on these guys, that a Kevin Garnett, who has been through everything and prides himself on preparation and focus and in the moment, and a guy like Paul Pierce, who has been through a ton and has seen teammates get traded left and right, that even though it sucked, and no one's saying it didn't suck, I have a hard time believing that those guys carried a trade in February so much that it ruined their March, it ruined their April, it ruined their May. Like, I think those guys are just too professional, too focused. If anything, the reaction that they would have would be to steel themselves against the front office and say, hey, look, it's us against them. Let's go do something for us. So that's my pushback against the chemistry thing. Although I will admit that, you know, the not having a guy back there as a kind of compliment to Kevin Garnett, and moving Kevin Garnett into the five basically full time, that does change the dynamic and the on-court chemistry and how they play defense on the court. I can see how that would impact it there.
Corrales, you don't know what you're talking about.
Screw you! You moron! Sorry, I forgot to pepper in that stuff while I was making my point.
No, it's possible. Can I say that it's possible that it wasn't the trade? So this team goes 41-14, so they play 55 games, right? They're, you know, two-thirds of the way through the season. It's not the trade. I mean, it's the fact that Ray's 35, Paul's 33, KG's 34. Like, you know, when your core is that aged, maybe – and they're playing, you know, look, Ray was still playing 36 minutes a game. Pierce was playing 34 with almost 35 minutes a game. KG at 31. So there's load management going on for KG, but it's not for the other guys. Maybe it's more that this team was just too old to sustain that sort of level. You know, I don't know. I can't just automatically attribute the fall off to the chemistry and the deal. I mean, Glenn Davis was having a good season. Perk is like your sixth best player. You'd think a team like this could survive a deal involving their sixth best player.
Well, Chuck, small-minded people like to just go to chemistry as a default.
Okay, but Chuck, the next year, they almost made the finals, the Celtics. You know, so, and still with the big three, and they were a year older. And so I don't know about what you said there about them aging. Sure, they were aging, but they weren't quote unquote old yet.
I'm arguing in the moment, Mike. I'm pretending this is
the moment. Okay.
We don't know what's going to happen in the
future. Well, here's, I'm looking at the Celtics lineup 2011, the playoff series against Miami after they swept the Knicks. They played Miami, the LeBron Heat, and lost in five. And now the Celtics had Jermaine O'Neal instead of Miami having him like the year before. The Celtics had him. God damn it. You know? And Glenn Davis, he only averaged 18 minutes in that series in the five games. He didn't start any. He averaged 18 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds. So he didn't give them anything. Jeff Green, he averaged 21 minutes and scored 8 points a game. So it still boiled down to Pierce, Allen, Garnett, and Delonte West and Rajon Rondo were the other two in the top five of playing time. And, you know, I think they just would have been more competitive against Miami if they had had the roster that they had before the trade deadline.
You know, I see the first 3 years of Jeff Green's career, and you have a guy who has what became ultimately randomly a 39% three-point shooting season. But that was his second year. That was the 08-09 season. So you have a guy here that has, in the course of three full seasons before arriving in Boston, has averaged somewhere, he has two seasons where he's averaging 15 and 16.5 points a game. He has one season where he's averaging almost 39% from three. He has, he's shooting pretty, shooting okay overall. He's clearly flashy. He's getting you 6 rebounds a game. He's getting us, you know, a little more than a steal. You see these little things throughout those seasons. You're like, okay, you know, look at the Oklahoma City Thunder at that point. You're clearly an overload of talent, and he's not getting the full maybe run. Maybe he's not getting the full opportunity that you think that he could be getting on a team with Westbrook and Harden and Durant, and they're all trying to figure each other out. So I can see in that moment a general manager going like, look at what he gave up. Like, I love Perk, but post ACL injury, Kendrick Perkins is losing a step. He's losing his effectiveness. He, as integral as he was to that team's chemistry and defense, to turn him into a wing player that at that point has what seems like a lot of potential. And in Kristic, a center that you're like, hey, serviceable. You know, like, we don't need – Danny Ainge sees that the center position is starting to be devalued in the NBA. You don't need stars at that position. Because look at Orlando. They've had a star at that position throughout all of this. It's gotten them nowhere. So you've got a serviceable big coming back and a potentially good wing. Now, looking back on it now, you say, oh, he got Jeff Green. So what? But, you know, and obviously he had that heart condition like Chuck mentioned. So that, but that aside, you're in that moment, I can see like the flashes of Jeff Green and
That's the most infuriating part of Jeff Green, is because he's had a career full of flashes and nothing beyond that. But in that moment, like I said, you're flipping a center that is going to be gone anyway, and Nate Robinson for Jeff Green potential and a serviceable backup center that you at least a guy you thought could be serviceable at the point. In that moment, I do that trade again.
Well, I see what you're saying. And, you know, it's valid, even though you don't know what you're talking about, but it is valid. You know, I mean, like Jeff Green had, if I remember right, this is off the top of my head, I think he had a 43-point game against Miami on a Sunday afternoon on national TV a couple of years later. And he definitely had the talent. He just didn't do it consistently. Yeah. And, you know, and that was him. That was Jeff Green being Jeff Green.
We call that Mike Dinan.
Oh, boy. And Kristich, yeah, he didn't play much. I mean, he was okay, but in the playoffs, he didn't do anything. No. He played in that Miami series. He played 33 minutes. So he was just, you know, garbage time type player. And the late season pickups that they got that year, Troy Murphy, Sasha Pavlovich, and Carlos Arroyo. Carlos Arroyo was another guy who had been on Miami the year before. Now he's on the Celtics. So, you know, no wonder we lost in five. Anyway.
Well, that's our take on the Perk trade. I stand by it. I understand why it happened. I also understand that it didn't work out. I'm not saying that it didn't have an impact on chemistry. It did, but it didn't ruin the season. That's my take. We're going to continue this. We're going to finish up the 2010-11 season. And then next week, we'll get into, you know what's coming, the big Paul Pierce trade, all of that, that era, Brad Stevens coming in, all of that's coming up. We're going to walk right up to the door of this season. So, subscribe, go back and listen. We started in the 1950s a long time ago. We're still going. So subscribe, give us a 5-star rating if you have, give us a good written review, follow us on Spotify, visit BuiltBar.com. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate you downloading this show and making it part of your daily routine. Now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan. All right, fellas. It's been 2 hours. We're going to cut it off here.
That was good.
Okay.
That was fun.
So,
hey, you didn't say what your favorite play was with Von Wafer.
Oh, shit.
Was next that time, the missed dunk? The dunk that he fought
the celebrating and
the missed dunk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He turned and celebrated a la Nick Young.
I'm going to put this after, at the end of the podcast, after it signs off, because I absolutely am going to put this into the missed dunk against the Wizards, I want to say. I think it was against the Wizards. He goes up, he dunks it, you know, so he can't really see it go through, but it kind of looks like it's going through, and he just, one of those weird things where it rattles out. But the best part is that he celebrates, he does a little shimmy. Jermaine O'Neal rebounds the miss. And as Von Wafer's running back, he runs into Jermaine O'Neal, causing him to double dribble and then turn it over. So he not only celebrates the missed dunk, like, okay, that's crappy. You can almost like excuse it a little bit. But Jermaine O'Neal's like, oh, I got this. Don't worry, I'm going to get you. And then as he runs back, he knocks it out of his hands. Jermaine O'Neal picks it back up, and it's a turnover. And and Von Wafer runs back, and he's just like grimaces looking towards the sky like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, man. Like that absolute one of the best NBA bloopers of all time.
Yeah, you don't recover from that, clearly, nine years later. We're still talking about it.
No. I always liked the way Tommy would always say his full name, Von Wafer, as if I think he thought his last name was Von Wafer. you know, like some German aristocrat, you know?
Oh, man, this is too good.